them in your life. Let me say that again. The storms that just come to this life for the child of God, for the born-again, blood-bought child of God, which probably almost everybody in here, maybe everybody, will say that they are born again, those storms are controlled. And the storms that happen because of, and sometimes Paul said this, sometimes you can be doing the wrong thing and you can do it out of ignorance. Paul said, I persecuted the church of the Lord and I did that out of ignorance. And he quickly had an experience with Jesus where he stopped that and he became the, he wrote more of the New Testament than any other writer. So having said that, here we are in Psalm 55, verses 6 through 8. Father, open your word to us. Help us to understand what we're reading, what's being said here, so that these listeners will be able to act on the word. And everyone said amen. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. I've met more people since 2019 that have felt like that than any other time in my life. I've been saved since 1971. Now, don't confuse that. I'm not saying I've been good since 1971. I really did some of my best sinning after I got saved because I was so young when I got saved. And I'm not proud of that, but I don't want to lie about it. I was, you know, I've made mistakes. I still sin at times. And you know what? Jesus is my high priest, and he's my Savior. And as my Savior, look here. Your life with God starts at this cross right here. And then from there, You're gonna make of it what you're going to make of it. Now, my people, according to Hosea 4:6, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The word says in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, the words of Jesus, if 1,522 times in the King James translation of the Bible is the word if. If means this, it's stipulatory. I can do this if you'll do that. I can't do this if you won't do that. If, John 8, 31 and 32, you continue in my word. See, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There is no such thing as a victorious believer that doesn't know the word of God. I said, and I'm going to say it again, there ain't no such thing. The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard is somebody that does not know the Word of God and they think they're going to get along better than a person that does. The Apostle Peter said this, as newborn babies. Now, I've got some babies right now. We just had 9 little babies. Little treeing feist pups. They're beautiful. Oh, my gosh. You should see them. Before the service is over, let me know how many you want. I've got a bunch of them. I only need one or two. If, see, if you do something, and this is what Jesus said. This is it. We do not preach creeds here at this church. We only preach one thing. That's the Word of God. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Now, what does that mean in normal? If you don't, could it be that maybe you're really not a disciple? See, we're not here to try to make church attenders. We have a little bit higher goal. We want to make disciples. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And church creeds will not make you free, and denominations will not make you free. Yet there are saved people in every denomination. I preach in all of them. I preach in Catholic churches, Methodist churches, Pentecostal churches, here a church, there a church, everywhere a church. I believe in church. How about you? Anybody got anything against the church? If you continue in my word, then and only then, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The only thing that can make you free is the truth. That's the word of God. You got to know it. The beginning of the Bible. Joshua. And you shall meditate on this word day and night. That word meditate means to recite it, go over it in your mind, memorize it, have it written on your refrigerator, have it written where you go potty, and begin to put that word in your, put the promises like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19, if you don't know this one, it'll hurt you. My God will supply all of my needs, all of my needs, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. My God will do that. He'll do that for every believer, for every person that is a practicing person. Many shall come to me in that day and say, well, Lord, we did this and we did that. We did good works. And what do you mean we can't get in? Well, then Jesus said he will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. See, ain't none of us can win the prize for I never did nothing wrong in here. Okay? We're all in the same boat. What separates us? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Because if you don't, you've got a problem. If that offends you, you're probably shouldn't even be here. That's the truth. Is anybody in here offended by the truth? Let me tell you something. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And you know what? I say this all the time. I've said it for many years. God's not so interested in what you did yesterday. He's more interested in what you're going to do today to make tomorrow better. See? There ain't no such thing as a person that's never sinned. Communion is for believers, and it has to do with if there's any sin in your life this week. We take communion once a week here. Smith Wigglesworth, John Wesley, and many others, they took it every day. You cannot take communion too much. Communion is for a believer what an oil check, what an oil change is for a car. It keeps you fresh. It keeps you in tune. It keeps you where you need to be. Now, that is not any denominational doctrine. We don't have those here. Man, I walked in here in May of 1987. In October of 1982, we came across it from Modesto, California. In May of 1987, we started Paris Christian Center. And I didn't come in with a bunch of creeds and ideas. You know, I just came in with this Bible. It's good enough for Jesus. It's good enough for me. Is it good enough for you? Now, I have literally discovered that there are believers in every denomination. So don't sit on your high horse and ridicule me and say that I am against denominations. Because I'm not. I am inter. Everybody say inter. Interdenominational. You know what that means? I love everybody. My Jesus doesn't require me to hate or ridicule anybody else. So don't be doing that, okay? Because if you do, somebody will get you. It won't be me. I'm just going to get out of the way. I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm not with them right now. I mean, but I'm going to share a message with you about storms come and storms go, and so you feel better. I've never seen more storms in people's lives, in my own life, than in the last 5 years. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm. Everybody say the windy storm. How many of you, you've seen an increase in windy storms since COVID hit? Anybody? Well, there's a few of you. I mean, you don't have to agree with that. If you're doing just hunky-dory, hey, tell me where I can get some of that. I'll get some of that. But I'll tell you what I have done. Every rotten, filthy thing that Satan has tried to put on me, it doesn't stick. Because it doesn't have to if you're a believer. And tomorrow, as Pastor Kelly said, there's going to be people here from other churches. Why is that? Because we're interdenominational. When people come and help us out here, we don't try to get them to come here. When we give all the food away that we give away, we don't try to get them to come here. You know what we try to do? We try to feed them because people are hungry, because we need help. All of us need help. And that's the purest reason to do anything. I don't know very many people that are as generous as Pastor Kelly is. Oh, yes, she is my kid. Well, she did learn it from the best. You got people coming from other denominations tomorrow. Yeah. Come look at a miracle tomorrow. See people getting along and not wondering. Now, I was raised Catholic first. And I'm telling you, that priest would tell me, that the nuns that take me like this here, say, you're going to see the priest. Then he'd say, stick your hand out. Well, I did that the first two or three times. And then one time he said, stick your hand out. And I said, you stick your hand out. I'm not sticking my hand out anymore. I've been involved with the Methodist Church. I've been involved with several different churches. I love them all. I don't have any, you know what? I'm not smart enough to ridicule or criticize anybody. And I have no desire to. But anyhow, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm. Now, Jesus said this, in this world, in this life, you will have tribulation. You will have it. No matter how much you try to avoid it. You will have it. And he said, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. He's overcome the world, and his victory is your victory. I'm sharing a message. Storms come, and storms go. Let's go to the next place, which is in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and verse 1. I'm talking about storms tonight. Windy storms, bad storms, brown storms, pink storms. Purple storms, storms. To everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And what I found is this here. If you will live your life as a believer, according to what the Bible says as a believer, you'll get a lot less storms that you don't have to have. The Lord will allow storms in your life. He does in this life. What can you say about that? That's the truth. And to everything there is a season. Now, let me tell you something about storms that come from God. Not storms because you won't get it, because you won't do the right thing. I don't want to even try to address that. But a storm that comes from God, it has a beginning and it has an end. And when you mess up, and if you keep doing the same thing, you keep sowing seeds that you shouldn't, I don't know what will happen there. Well, it might go away. Yeah, it might. I don't know. I'm not an expert on that. I'm trying to do the best I can to not have those kind of problems in my life, and then I still do. That's why I'm here tonight. I'm going to examine my heart like the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the communion chapter, and let everybody examine his heart, his life, and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And if there's something there, I promise you this, if you're a child of God, number one, and you make an altar, number two, and if there's something God wants to talk to you about, my sheep know my voice. They know how to follow me. And I'll tell you this here, if the Lord, not a person, but if God points something out to you that shouldn't be in your life, it's called sin, then 1 John 1:9 comes into play. It says this, if, once again, 1,522 times in the King James translation of the Bible, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, he is faithful and has a legal right to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from our sins. Cleansing from sin is better than, I'm going to try not to do that. What's better than that is when the Lord cleanses you from it. That happens when you're honest with yourself, honest with God. And when you examine yourself in just a moment, if there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, tell the Father, Lord, I've got a problem with so-and-so. I've got a sin in my life, and this is what it is. And the Bible says that is the beginning. That is the beginning of deliverance, is to be honest with yourself, and then the next person to be honest with God. Not God first, you first. I was sick of my life. I was demonized. I hated my life. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll didn't work for me. It just made me crazier and suicidal. That's just the truth. I wanted something different. And if you confess your sins, your high priest, Jesus, is faithful, and he has a legal right to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of your sins. Isn't that good news? There's some stuff I'm glad I don't have to tell to anybody but my high priest. How about you? Amen. I'm preaching a message about storms tonight. We won't cover the whole. We won't even nip it a little bit. But there's a season for and a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, if you're going to go through something unpleasant, God will limit how long you're going to go through that and the intensity that you're going to go through that. Now, that's just the truth if you're a born-again believer. To everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose. See, how many of you believe this here? That sometimes when you went through something that was unpleasant, it helped you by the raising of your hands. The rest of you are fibbing. Okay? I'm preaching a message. Storms come and storms go. Unless you're steeped in something and refuse to give it to Christ, then storms come, and I don't know if they'll go or not. I don't know. You tell me. I mean, if I'm going to try to get rid of mine, and I've got, and you know what? I've got so much wrapped up in trying to get me to heaven, I don't have time to be judging anybody else. Turn with me, and fellas, put up James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And this isn't even a scratch on this subject, but these are just a few verses I pulled out. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. knowing this. Now, that word temptations can mean trials. It means stuff happening to you that you didn't plan when you woke up this morning. How many of you, you start your day, and before you get very far in it, you're going a whole different direction? I have that happen to me. Now, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And what I want to say here, it works a whole lot of other things. That's just one thing. There are reasons why God allows certain storms in your life. I'm not saying he created the storms. According to the Bible, 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when he comes at your tent, say, you may not devour me. I belong to Jesus Christ. And you ain't going to devour me. No, if you don't get out of my way, I'm going to cast you out. For it is written, resist the devil and he will flee. He will run in terror away from you. Now, that's just the truth. So count it all joy. So this evening as we've come together, whatever you're going through, you might not be going through anything, but if you're going through a trial, count it all joy. I mean, don't let it make you not put your hands up and worship the Lord. Don't make you not smile. Don't make you busted, disgusted, and can't even be trusted. Don't let it make you depressed, oppressed, and recessed. For God's sake, put on a happy smile. Amen? All right. I'm sharing, and I'll just share as much. And you know what the wonderful thing about this is? All of you lucky people know you're going to be out of here about 3 minutes to eight. I don't care if I read all my Bible verses or not. I don't need to. Because I got your attention right now. How many of you is getting something out of this already? Good. Some on this side, only one on that side. That's okay. I'm going to preach mostly to this side for the rest of the service. All right, put up Psalm, please, 9, chapter 9, Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in you, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek you. You cannot come out in a bad deal if you'll seek God. And I don't know how he's done it, but he's worked so many things out of my life. But I don't want to brag too much because I've sinned. I still sin at times. And if you don't, I'm happy. Come spit on me or rub up against me or something. I want what you got. Amen? Amen. How many of you still got problems at times? Sure. Sure we do. So, the Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. How many of you are having storms right now in your life? You're in a storm. Me too. I got both hands up, as Larry Baker would say. How many of you got a prayer request? I got two hands up. I got more than you is what he means. I didn't really want to hear your prayer request. No, I don't care if I don't know what to say. But those that know God will trust him in the storm. And as you begin to serve the Lord, I trust him more than I did when I first started off in 1971. At 1765 Cathay Drive on the east side of San Jose, California, at my mother's kitchen table, when my Uncle Chester led me to Christ, I told him, Chester, I'm gonna pray with you. Because if there's a God, I need him. And I needed him yesterday. And I said, Chester, if there's not a God, I'm in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. I just knew it. I owe him. I love him. And I know him, too. I know him. Let's look at Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7 in the King James translation of the Bible. Storms will come and storms will go unless, this isn't part of my, unless that you're involved in something that you shouldn't be involved in and you keep digging up terrible things that are, I mean, you know what? God will let you go wherever you want to go. That's frightening. He ain't going to say, you know what, Holy Spirit? You know what, Jesus? We don't want that person to be. No. We're all free moral agents. We're made in the image of God. And God has made it, if you, he knows your heart. Jeremiah 17 says the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. God knows your heart better than you know your own heart. He knows it thoroughly. And he knows how to help you. And he will send out help your way from time to time. He'll try to draw you in. And if you respond to God, which the average smart person will, you're going to be fine. The Lord will take you. He'll become your high priest. He'll become your savior. The word says about Christ Jesus, the Messiah, he ever liveth to make intercession for those who are heirs of salvation. He lives forever. That means like forever means heaven. Does that mean that he might be still being our high priest up there? I think so. Well, I don't think so. Well, that's okay. You don't have, I don't have a beef with you. Think whatever you want. And storms will come. Storms will go. And I think there's things you can do to shorten storms. One of the things is to be close to God. Like this next psalm says, Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? If you're dwelling in the secret place, everybody say the secret place. I want you to know that there is a secret place on this earth in Christ that you want to live if you want help from God and if you want to go to heaven. It's not that hard. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. See, he's my God. He's not just God, he's my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Does everybody know what a snare is? A snare is a trap. How many of you know who the fowler is? Who are you saying? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 will fall. I can remember reading this many years ago in Patterson, California. I had a place that looked like Israel behind my house, and I'd go there and study, and these verses became important to me. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it won't come nigh to you. Now, does that mean that you're never going to have a storm or a trial? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is it's not going to destroy you. Why? Because he ain't going to let it destroy you. The book of Corinthians talks about the trial is limited. The storm is limited in the life of a believer in a child of God. And you can be any denomination you want to, especially here. We don't care. We're going to love you, whatever. This is not a good place to have anything against any denominations because we love all the denominations. In fact, like Paul said, I am a Pharisee. I can honestly say I am a Catholic. That's the first thing I was when I was plopped on the earth. Plop? There I was. It's just after a while I said, I'm not sticking my hand out no more. That's not working out for me, sir. Stick your hand out and give me the rod. They weren't going to do that. So we had a parting of the ways. But I'm preaching storms may come and storms will go. Next place for me is Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 through 26. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, a storm, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But Jesus was asleep. Why? Because it didn't bother him. And his disciples came to him and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're about to perish. In fact, one gospel says, don't you care that we're going to die? And he said, of course I care. You may be in here tonight. And you may wonder, does anybody care what's happening to me? Of course, God cares. And you know what? If God be for you, Romans 8:31, who can be against you? If you've got God all up in your business, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. God will help you. God don't have any desire to hurt anybody. He wants to bless somebody here tonight. Would anybody accept a blessing from God tonight? Amen. Me too. If you don't want it, I'll take yours. My name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. And he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, I'm going to show, that's fine. That happened 2,100 years ago. But let me show you the good news is. See, he says you can do the same thing that he did. Put up John chapter 14 and verse 12, please, fellas. Verily, verily, these are the words of Jesus speaking to people like you and me. I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he or she do also. He is a non-gender word there. And greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to be with my Father. Jesus is not hanging on a cross any longer. Jesus is not walking on the Sea of Galilee any longer. He's up in heaven at the right hand of God, and he's making intercession for you and for I. And he loves us, and he only wants what's best for us. And there's been many times I've prayed this here. Lord, I don't even know what's best for me. I just know I'm not happy like I am. And you know how you get help from the Lord? If you've gotten off somewhere, you say, Lord, I was wrong. I shouldn't have gone that way. I want to come back. He'll say, come on back, son. Come on back, daughter. 2 Corinthians 6:18, I believe, says, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and my daughters. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to be with my Father, and I'm going to be in heaven telling him all about you, because I love you. That's how God feels about you. Last place, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. We're about to examine our hearts. We're about to make an altar where we're at, or come to the altar. And the word here says this: casting all your cares upon him, because he cares about you. He cares what you're going through tonight. Even if nobody else does, he does. God cares. And I'm going to ask you, those that want to take communion, you don't have to take communion here if you don't want to. It don't matter where you go to church, you can take communion here if you want to. For those that do, meet me at the altar, or make yourself an altar where you are, and examine your heart. If there's something that shouldn't be there, tell the Lord, confess it, and he'll help you. These are all children up here. These are all young people. Scarcely do you see an adult come up here anymore. God loves you. Deacon, can you serve communion tonight? Can you serve communion tonight? Pastor Kelly, if we need more, send Frank or anybody else out. It don't matter to me. I'm just happy that you're all here. Thank you for coming. How many of you say it was worth it to hear that? Good. I just wanted to help you. I just wanted to bless you. And we're passing out the bread, the Eucharist, right now. Tonight, when you receive yours, this Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Healing is the children's bread. If you need anything, if you need supply in your life, in the spirit, soul, or body, when you receive your emblem, please stand up and tell the Lord why you're standing. Tell him what you need. If you don't need anything tonight, that's okay. I mean, for goodness sakes. Just be satisfied when you live, when you leave here. In just a moment.